Welcome to Las Vegas Sun Politics on KUNV. I'm Michael Squires, politics editor at The Sun. Senator Dean Heller is opposing the nomination to the federal bench of Las Vegas Judge Lissa Kadish. We'll discuss why. But first, a slew of initiative petitions will be circulating this campaign season. The AFL-CIO wanted to raise $1 billion for education, and they thought they had the teachers' support until this week. Joining us now is David McGrath-Schwartz. He's the state capitol reporter for the Las Vegas Sun. David, welcome. What's happened between the teachers and the union?
Well, right now you have a legal dispute about the language. What the teachers say is they don't want to spend a whole lot of money on an initiative that is just going to be tossed out by a court. And the AFL-CIO says, hey, we're going to go forward with this. You know, it's going to be a business profit tax on 2% tax on revenue over $500,000 for businesses. Raise about $1 billion a year, which is, you know, boatload of money, and you'd think that the teachers would be on board, but they're sort of stuttering about getting behind this thing. And I think it underlies or belies, you know, this sort of squishy support for this initiative.
David, so this goes back to the 2011 session, correct?
Yes, and there was a lot of frustration with groups, not just public employees, which is represented by the AFL-CIO, which is pushing this, but, you know, broader business community, or many in the business community, gaming, mining, which see themselves as targets or potential targets as people get mad about the education system. And there was going to be this broad coalition pushing this initiative because there was consensus that the legislative process was broken. You couldn't get the two-thirds necessary to pass a tax increase. And so there was going to be this big initiative push that we have not seen come to pass. I talked to Danny Thompson on Monday, and Danny Thompson, who's the head of the AFL-CIO, said, hey, we are going forward with this thing. We're going to go it alone. They're not worried about collecting the necessary signatures, even though it's cost some significant, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for other groups to do it in the past.
So let's take a step back and look at this issue. The broad-based business tax that they would want is something that has been talked about in Nevada since, I guess, 2002, at least, you know, in recent years.
Sure. And policy-wise, this is sort of the ongoing fundamental question that the state faces, is the size of government, the spending, the taxes. It was before the Great Recession, and during the boom times. It was during the Great Recession and during these budget cuts. And now that we're emerging out, you know, it's still going to be a fundamental question. But for those who do want to see higher taxes, you know, the sense I'm getting is that it's going to be a lot of disappointment. There doesn't seem to be the political will to raise taxes in the near term. You know, when the legislature next meets, 2013, this initiative right now, I would say, is on unsteady footing, if it moves forward at all.
But coming back to the, if we're looking at kind of the longer fights that this reflects, one of them is who pays these taxes? Gaming pays a big share of the state budget, and mining contributes some. Those two industries have always supported what we refer to in shorthand as a broad-based business tax, which, you know, there are different ways to do it, but it would be a tax that every business in the state would pay rather than focusing on two industries. They say that that's, you know, fair play. They're obviously also trying to protect their own interests, trying to keep, you know, calls for increases in gaming and mining taxes to grow too loud.
Right.
But this division, wouldn't you say, has kind of set the agenda for these arguments over how to go about a tax increase?
It has. 2003, that sort of tax fight that, you know, like last lasting scar or, you know, the bad breakup that won't go away or something. I don't know what the good analogy is here, but the 2003 tax fight still resonates. That session was the gross receipts tax. Former Governor Kenny Gwynne proposed that died. And since then, it's been this back and forth between gamers and the business industry, and you know, where does the state get its money from, and how much money should it get?
So fast forward then to the 2011 session. A lot of these groups watch lawmakers try and again fail to pass any kind of tax increase. They merely extend tax increases. And there's no real increase, and they've seen round and round of budget cutting. They say, we were tired of this, we're going to go forward. And the groups that we've written about being interested in this are the AFL-CIO, which is this huge labor umbrella organization in the state, mining and gaming, and then the teachers. And as it stands now, only the AFL-CIO is willing to go forward. Go down that list then, teachers, mining and gaming, and talk about why each one would not be then supporting this thing that they have been fighting for years and years.
The teachers say they support it in theory, which, you know, it is sort of offering the moral support, which doesn't do them a lot of good when it comes time to raise money. And they say they don't want to spend their union member dues with just to have it thrown off the ballot.
And they're saying that the actual language of what they've drafted could be challenges, and they think would be challenged and could be overturned. But they won't say why, because they don't want to give a roadmap, as they say, to opponents of this.
Right. Mining and gaming they're hiding behind this. The fact that the AFL-CIO hasn't released their final language. I do know that they've seen drafts of the language. Part of their hesitancy, I think, is, and even though they both mining and gaming will deny it, they face initiatives of their own. A conservative businessman who has been pretty much against these efforts to have a broad-based tax or a corporate income tax. His name is Monty Miller, and he has two initiatives out there that target, one targets gaming and one targets mining. Mining and gaming are very aware that if they get too far out in front of this tax increase, if they are seen as trying to push this on the larger business community, that makes them more vulnerable to issues like this.
And so Monty Miller has proposed these two initiatives. One would take the gaming tax, I believe, to 9%. Correct me if I'm wrong there.
Right. For the largest casinos, it would be a 9% tax. It's at 6.75% now, so that would be a hefty tax increase. And,
sure.
And the mining tax would be a constitutional amendment, so we would have to pass a vote of the people twice. And that would allow the mining tax rate to be changed in the Constitution from 5% to 9%. It would allow the legislature to change it up to a maximum of 9%. Right now it's capped at 5%.
So Monty Miller, we have kind of an interesting figure. He is known as an anti-tax guy, and here he has these two tax initiatives.
But the interesting thing is he it's not like he is out there and he wants to increase funding for schools or increase funding for social services or give public employees big raises. He's been pretty explicit that these are meant as warnings to the gaming and mining industry not to support the AFL-CIO's business tax. And this week, he explicitly told me, hey, look, if gaming and mining industries commit that they're not going to support the broad-based business tax, I will drop my tax, my taxes. My tax.
Right. He said he's ready to make a deal is kind of
He's ready to make a deal.
So how does this play out then? Obviously, there's the courts could get involved. There's a lot of this kind of smoke-filled room type scenarios that we can think of in our head.
Never in Nevada. There's no smoke-filled room.
No.
You know, to put on my pundit hat, which is way above my pay grade, I think this has a lot to do with Governor Sandoval saying that he's going to extend the taxes. That did take some of the sense of urgency out of the public discussion as far as what was going to happen with the state budget, what was going to happen with
education. For people who haven't been following on, let's just kind of get them up to speed here. The taxes were first passed in 2009, payroll tax, and some other things.
Increase in sales tax, increase in your vehicle registration. And the only passed Republicans said, look, they have to go away after 2 years or at least have to be extended by 2/3 vote of the legislature, which is a high hurdle. In 2011, they were extended for another 2 years yet again. It was an open question about whether Governor Sandoval, when he right now the state is building its budget and trying to figure out how much money it has, and Governor Sandoval said he's going to support extending those taxes. Yet again, some on the right bristled at that, felt like he was going back on his word, his promise during the campaign not to raise taxes, but, you know, the governor did extend it, and it seems to have sort of poked a hole in the tax initiative boat.
Mm-hmm. Right. The governor's kind of taken the mystery out of this whole thing, saying he'll sign that. It looks like it would have the votes to go through. But at the same time, some people didn't want to just maintain current spending levels. They wanted to see some more money added into this. And that's where these initiatives come in. You were putting on your pundit hat, though. You say you think the governor's saying this.
About what's going to happen
plays
here?
Into this, yeah. So how does this play out?
Well, I'm going to float a little bit of a theory right now, and you know, it's just a theory. Is that I think they will get the signatures. This is going to go forward, and
the AFL-CIO right now, one is what you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's going to go in front of the legislature in 2013. It's going to be rejected there, and then it's going to go on the ballot in 2014, and that's where I'm really curious. Because when gaming and mining and the broader business community, the support is important then if they're going to run a public campaign. And are they going to be willing to spend money at that point to do it? Mm-hmm. You know, at the same time, the governor's going to be up for re-election that year on that ballot. And so I'm curious, and I guess that's a long-winded way of saying I really don't have a good theory right now of what's going to happen.
Well, we'll give you some time to work that up. David McGrath Schwartz covers
the
state.
Read the Las Vegas Sun if you want to find it.
Capital for the Las Vegas Sun. Thank you, David. You're listening to Las Vegas Sun Politics on KUNV. I'm Michael Squires, politics editor at the Sun. Joining us now is Joe Shaneman, who covers Clark County government for the Sun. Welcome, Joe.
Welcome, Michael.
Now, you've been writing about some budget trouble at the county. They're looking at how much they're forking over to other municipalities. Talk about that.
Yeah, it's not a direct forking over. It's the fact that every year the county funds services that all of the local jurisdictions use. That's City of Las Vegas, Las Vegas, North Las Vegas, etc. And those other jurisdictions also pay a tax on property tax that goes into to fund their portion of those, to use those services. However, the use of social services, courts, university hospital, are the use is going up, so the cost is going up. And when the cost goes up and it exceeds the amount that's been budgeted, those municipalities don't contribute any more money to it. The county has to find money in their general fund to offset that amount, and that amount has increased, oh gosh, more than double over the last 2 years, just short of $100 million. So that $100 million overrun is coming from county taxpayers, unincorporated county taxpayers, of which there are about 900,000. But none of it comes from the city's or the Talons or any place like that. Nobody's suggesting any way to recommend it. I'm just going to be writing about that fact, and maybe something should be done about it.
What does the county say? This is obviously something that they don't like. They don't want to see their taxpayers having to shoulder more of the burden.
I have it only in the form of a very factual report. One county commissioner, Steve Sisolak, said, you know, it seems like that's just the way it's always been, that the other jurisdictions don't pay for their fair share of the services at UMC, health district, courts, and the county gets stuck with that budget, and there should be some equitable way to fix that. Now, there's a couple ways to fix it. The other jurisdictions could increase that tax that they pay into that goes for all these services, and that tax hasn't increased in at least 3 years. Or the county could increase its tax and they have a lot of room. There's a cap on certain taxes, but all the jurisdictions in Clark County have room to increase under that cap right now. So there's a couple options, and it depends, I guess, if anybody decides to increase something, it'll be the one that has the least resistance, and that might be the county one, but nobody's talking about that right now.
So this is paid through property tax, sales tax?
Property tax.
Property tax.
Ad valorem tax.
And
that means.
You say that there is, because of the demands, I mean, you're talking about UMC, certainly the economy has increased. People, you know, the number of people without insurance who might be turning to a public hospital for treatment. Talk about the health district and courts.
And family services and family court and juvenile court. And it just goes, I mean, it's an enormous, I mean, I have a list of all the different services. It's really extensive. It's elections, the public administrator, the public guardian, the public defenders, the public county recorder, the coroner, the detention services, aviation, the county clerk, the county assessor, air quality management, all of those are regional services.
Mm-hmm. And this comes as, say, the city of Las Vegas this week, we're learning, is running about $20 million short of its budget as far as the money coming in and going out. They have some reserves they're going to tap, but still, running behind in their revenue.
Yeah. Everybody's hurting because the property taxes are still falling. The amount of, and that's the big part of their budget. And county, I'm not sure what the county's reserve is. I'll be checking on that. But that's one area that could be tapped here too, I think, to help make up, to put a crimp in some of this. And I think the county already does that, though. And I think that reserve has gone down significantly in the last couple of years.
So at this point, just reporting, not getting a lot of reaction, but
nobody's really.
Yeah.
I mean, a report about this went out maybe a month ago. Nobody's really commented publicly unless I call them and ask them. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what they say now. But while this is going on, Metro, too, is asking for a 2.87% increase in its budget. I mean, there's, and then North Las Vegas is talking to Metro about, I mean, God knows what, maybe a merger or something. And why would that even benefit the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department? Nobody knows. So there's a lot going on.
Yeah, with things like that, I mean, really is people. It probably on the face of it sounds like, oh, we throw these two things together. That's got to be cheaper to run. But, I mean, the devil is literally in the details.
It would probably end up costing the county more.
Right.
But I don't know.
Because you have separate bargaining units. You have separate contracts. Just a whole lot of details that would influence whether it would make sense financially or not for either party. So that's another piece of this. All seem to be tied to the same kind of financial troubles. Another North Las Vegas related story you've been working on recently is this conflict between North Las Vegas and Clark County over the use of the Sloan Channel, the water treatment plant, the new one that North Las Vegas just built, has been discharging treated water into the channel. There have been complaints about the odor, about it attracting bugs, and not to mention that the county owns it and that North Las Vegas has not been paying them, nor does it have permission to use it. You wrote that there might be some resolution in that. What's going on with that?
Yeah, the resolution might be, it's multifaceted, but I think part of the county's worry was that the North Las Vegas would never sign off an agreement saying that they would not try to take away the Nellis Air Force Base business from the county. That's worth about $1 million of water treatment per year. An agreement whereby the county would not challenge in court North Las Vegas is dumping into the Sloan Channel would include a line in there saying, you can have the $1 million or whatever comes to you from Nellis Air Force Base. Just let us keep dumping into here. But there would also be something in there about North Las Vegas having to pay Clark County maintenance fees, and that the maintenance sort of involves like a pickup truck with a big spinning brush in front of it that goes up and down the channel, scrubbing up the muck and the where the bugs lay their eggs, and trying to get rid of this rotting, you know, this rotting weed smell. It's just a, you know, an awful smell that if you ever drive over the Maryland, the wash under Maryland Parkway, you know what it smells like. And residents never had to deal with that until a year ago when they started dumping water into it. Now they have bugs and the smell, and it's really a disaster for them.
So if the North Las Vegas doesn't want to go after Nellis or agrees not to the contract for treating their wastewater, the county's appears willing to let...
and there's going to, like I said, there's also going to be some money that North Las Vegas is going to have to fork over to help pay for county maintenance. And Tom Collins, the county commissioner who represents that area, said he believes maintenance is going to be a lot more than the original suggestion of $50,000 a year from North Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. He said he thinks it's going to be like a three-man crew every day working on that. And his kind of throwaway comment was, you know, the amount that they're going to be spending per year over the next 20 years could have paid for a tunnel that North Las Vegas had originally planned to build, but then funding didn't come through, the tunnel would have transferred that water underground to Lake Mead and eliminated some of these problems.
So one last question on this. This appears to be, it's going to be resolved outside of court, because I think a lawsuit had been filed over this.
Yeah, competing lawsuits have been filed, so I think... I'm not exactly sure, unfortunately, if the judge or arbitrator or somebody said, go back and try to work this out. But they're going to try to work it out without doing an extensive court battle.
Now, another thing that's come up recently, we've talked a lot here, and you've written a lot about the plans for a massive solar project down near Laughlin. Along with that, there's been some effort from residents of the town there to incorporate. Lawmakers said that they wouldn't sign off on that. The Clark County Commission, though, I'm sorry, then the lawmakers reversed course. They did say that they could have permission to do this. The Clark County Commission signed off on it. What is some of the talk about that now?
Well, now it looks like the state is going to allow them to have a vote on whether to incorporate. The Clark County is very worried about it because... Well, maybe they shouldn't be worried because Laughlin is a bastion of intellectuals. So if given their druthers, I'm sure the people will vote it down. Because what they need is enough taxpayer support to pay for services of incorporation that include police, fire, you know, just streets, all that kind of stuff. The Laughlin people that are pushing for this believe they'll get contracts with fire and police that will cost significantly lower than what Clark County currently pays, they'll get the savings then. And it is a much smaller area. It's about, I can't remember the amount, maybe 8,000 people or something. If that solar plant came on board, if it ever does come on board, and they build an industrial park, then the county believes that Laughlin will have enough money to support itself, and the county commissioners say, yeah, go ahead. But... there's nothing they can really do to stop it. The vote's going to happen. I think people are just, people up here are hoping that the voters down there say no to it, because the big fear is if they do it and then they can't afford it, then it's going to cost the county even more money to come in and sort of take over and redo things again.
Now, you know a lot about collective bargaining. You've followed certainly the firefighters and the other unions that have been negotiating with the county. When you hear a township like Laughlin say, "Oh yeah, we can do this cheaper than Clark County does," what's your reaction to that? Do you think that is that just some people, hey, you know, well, it's, looking at it from the outside thinking, "Hey, we could do that better," or
maybe they can, but you know, there's equipment. I just don't know. Clark County put itself in a bind over a period of 20 to 30 years through its contracting with the unions. They're now paying for that. Even though over the last couple of years they have made significant inroads into cutting back some of the benefits that cost so much, They just got rid of longevity pay, which they feel is going to save $60 million over more than a decade. But, maybe Laughlin, I think, you know, some people say they know firefighters who would work there really cheap. I think there was an idea to get police down there with the, I don't know how they're doing it. It sounds like a pretty daunting task, but maybe, you know, off alone in their houses together, they've worked out a plan and they have people ready to just sign on and just do the thing.
Chris G said this, I can't remember what she called it, the folly or
travesty.
What? Travesty. Because the concern being if Laughlin does vote for this, if they go forward and they can't balance their budget, that it would ultimately be Clark County that would probably be stuck with the tag.
Yeah, Clark County would probably have come to the rescue. And that would sort of mean reinstituting certain services that they'd pulled out. I mean, just the cost of putting people back in and all that other stuff. It would just be another costly hassle. And, you know, it's sort of a fear of the unknown about in terms of cost there. And right now, cost is the big operative word because nobody has money.
And yet, what does the county commission believe that it can do at this point? Anything?
I mean, they don't have, you know, they can hold educational sort of meetings, I guess, with people, but they've already done that. Steve Sisolak's been down there and staff has been down there to talk to people. Reports have already come out saying that if they incorporated now, they'd be between $2 and $4 million short, which is a significant amount when you only have 8,000 people. I mean, they're not going to pay for an ad campaign or anything. They really can't do anything other by, beyond just talking individually to people, and I don't know how many are going to go down there and do that.
One piece of this, as we mentioned earlier, is that this Chinese company wants to build a huge solar plant, manufacture, and then the panels would be used to create a plant to generate electricity, which would be sold to California. How does that figure into this discussion?
If that thing's done, it'll be in a huge tax windfall. I can't remember how many million per year. I mean, ultimately, when that thing's built out, it's $6 billion worth of development. That would make it viable for Laughlin. That would make incorporation very doable. The problem is that thing was supposed to be, we reported about it last summer with sort of pie in the sky estimates as to when they could get going. Well, pie in the sky that we know, you know, of earlier this year or late last year, they're going to start building. But they aren't going to start, they can't do anything. In fact, the land will revert back to Clark County, this 20,000 acres, if a purchase power agreement with energy companies isn't made. And that, you know, it's a slower process than anybody thought it would be to get that agreement. And nobody knows if it's going to actually even happen.
Joe Shaneman covers Clark County government. Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome. Talk to you later.
David McGrath-Schwartz covers the state capitol for the Las Vegas Sun. You can follow their coverage and the rest of the Sun politics team at lasvegassun.com/politics. I'm Michael Squires. Enjoy your Wednesday.